friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Our starting line on the September 14th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports is African athletics. Olympic champion Eliud Kipchoge of Kenya will defend his title in Sunday's 45th running of the BMW Berlin Marathon in Germany. The 33-year-old Kipchoge won his third London Marathon title in April. Eliud has been described as the greatest marathoner of the modern era. Last year in Berlin, Eliud had a winning time of 2 hours, 3 minutes, and 32 seconds, 35 seconds off the world record set by fellow Kenyan Dennis Kimeto at the same Berlin race in 2014. Ahead of Sunday's race, the energetic Andy Edwards caught up with Eliud Kipchoge's coach. Here's Andy.
Well, in the world of marathon running, I think most people know Patrick Sang is the coach to somebody called Eliud Kipchoge, who's been pretty good in the last few years. And, of course, in Berlin, inevitably, there's talk of can not only Eliud Kipchoge win for the second year running, but also the world record. It was set 4 years ago, 2:02.57, by Dennis Kimeto. Patrick, is the world record something that you try, in a way, when the training with Eliud, put out of both your minds? You concentrate on what you do best, and then if it happens, it happens?
As a coach, it's always good to see an athlete develop. In the case of Eliud, it's closer to what people are expecting. And hopefully, it will happen. But the ultimate goal for me, and going by what we saw earlier in the Project Breaking 2, the most important thing is that, you know, you want to see an athlete grow in performance year after year. And that's the greatest satisfaction.
You and Eliud have formed a long-term partnership. Have you also seen him grow as a person? I'm not saying he was underdeveloped, but, you know, when you first got together, obviously he was a considerably younger man, and so you're someone who's been privileged, I suppose, to see him become the great runner he is today.
Yeah, I've actually seen a great development in Eliud, both horizontally and vertically. Horizontally, in the sense that he's embraced many things that has helped him understand the world better, understand the world of sports, understand the fact that, you know, when you're running, and you have a responsibility to so many people. Vertically, yes, yeah, he's achieved a lot. He's achieved greater milestone. The one medal that was missing was the Olympic gold medal from the running career when he achieved that in 2016. He achieved another feat that many people thought it was almost humanly impossible. And he ran close to under 2 hours in an unofficial setting. But all the same, it shows that he gave us the possibility that, vertically going, human is not limited yet to what it can be achieved as you go up.
In public, at least, and we've just had a press conference when he and the other elite men have been on stage, he radiates a kind of self-assurance. You know, I mean, all outstanding athletes have this confidence, but I think he, as much as anybody I've ever met, is he like that day to day?
I, for the entire period I've known him, I've known him as a realist. He always does what he believes is possible, and he believes in himself. That self-belief gives that kind of observation that you've met, and some other people probably have met as well.
Just one last question. I mean, on the internet these days, you can see video of all sorts of people training, and I'm looking at there's something in many training sessions in Kenya, and it's a very basic track, and it's, I think, early morning in Kenya, and Eliud arrives, and because it looks like he's wearing the shoes that he wore to win one of the Berlin marathons, and it's obvious from the moment that training session begins he's the leader. He's not jogging back in the pack. I mean, this may be an isolated example, but he's in a nice way, he's the boss of that session. I mean, does that make sense? You're his coach.
Probably that's his natural approach to the sport. And probably that natural approach to sport is what gives him that advantage of mental preparedness, which is probably better than maybe in some cases some other athletes.
Patrick Tsang, thank you very much for fascinating insight into Eliud Kipchoge. Thank you, Patrick.
Thank you very much.
And thank you very much, energetic Andy Edwards, for that interview with Patrick Tsang ahead of Sunday's 45th running of the BMW Berlin Marathon in Germany. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. The energetic Andy Edwards also caught up with one of the greatest wheelchair racers of all time in Berlin. Once again, here's Andy.
Tatiana McFadden from the USA, multi-Paralympic champion, is actually making her first race in the BMW Berlin Marathon. And Tatiana, when I open up the media profile, the athlete's bios, you're described, first sentence, as the most successful female wheelchair athlete in the world currently, etc. I mean, when you wake up in the morning, does that feel a burden, or is it like, oh great, look, I'm number one?
It's really exciting. I love racing, and I really love pushing myself and pushing my sport. And coming to Berlin for the first time, I'm so excited because I know it's going to be really challenging. It's a completely different course. It's a very flat. There's no climbing. And so I think that will probably be the most challenging for me. It will definitely come to probably a sprint. And so I'm really kind of looking forward to it. You know, it's an early marathon for us, you know, September. So I think it will kind of gear me up nicely for Chicago and really take away and learn from this course and my strength and my weaknesses and, you know, hopefully to coming back to Berlin and next year and really knowing the course by then.
Because this is the start of the 12th edition of the Abbott World Marathon Majors. And, of course, now wheelchair elite are all part of this series, fully fledged. And you just said you're starting the series here in Berlin. You want to end it. I mean, what significance has it for you as an athlete and a professional athlete that now elite wheelchairs, it's part of the Abbott World Marathon Majors just as the runners are? I mean, is that significant for you?
It's huge. And we're not different than any of those runners. We run the same course. We do the same training. And the only difference is that we're carrying 20 extra pounds, and that's our racing chairs. You know, we don't have any gears, and it's all upper body work. And so there's really no difference between us and any other elite runner. And it's really exciting that, you know, we're part of the Abbott World Series for the second time this year. Is it third already? Yeah, it's crazy. So that's amazing. And I really, it's going to allow the sport to grow, and we really need that, you know, as people get older and, you know, athletes going to retire eventually in the future, but there's something there for all the younger athletes to come up and be competitive, and that's what we want. We don't want wheelchair racing ever to die out, and we want to continue the competitiveness. And so it's really, really important. And I just hope that as the series continues, things will evolve, like more prize money in every marathon and the increase of prize money in the Abbott World Majors. I think it was a good, really good start, but I think we can always improve as well.
Just noting, Berlin making a first, they're going to have a sprint category. It's rather like cycle racing. Was it 38.3 kilometres? Well, there'll be a prime, I think, as they call it in cycling, bonus points for the first man and woman across the line. Would you like to see that development more? Because I know hearing David Weir, another elite competitor, talking, he'd like to see more sprint categories in a marathon to kind of, in a way, jazz it up. Would you favour that? I mean, would that suit your particular strengths as a racer?
I think so, because it depends where they put it. You know, if it's like on a downhill or on an uphill, it might make it for definitely an interesting race, or if an athlete gets away. So I think maybe more is, I don't know yet. It's we'll see how it goes on Sunday. And, you know, maybe probably more in the future might be good. But it definitely depends, you know, where they put it in the marathon. But it definitely increases the competitiveness especially for at least like the top 4 to 5 athletes, where the points can get really, really close in some of the races.
Well, sounds a great idea. All the best for Sunday, your debut in Berlin. I hope to see you a year's time in Berlin. Tatiana McFadden, thank you very much.
Thank you.
And thank you, energetic Andy Edwards, for that interview with Tatiana McFadden in Berlin, Germany. And here are a few facts about the 29-year-old McFadden. She was born in St. Petersburg, Russia, with spina bifida, a congenital disorder that paralyzed her from the waist down. Tatiana spent her early years in an orphanage, which could not afford a wheelchair for her, so she walked on her hands for the first 6 years of her life. While in the orphanage, Tatiana met Deborah McFadden, who was visiting Russia as a commissioner of disabilities for the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. Deborah McFadden adopted Tatiana, and she participated in a variety of sports once she arrived in the USA, including swimming, gymnastics, and wheelchair basketball.
Hi, this is Tatiana McFadden, 17-time Paralympic medalist, 7-time gold medalist, 17-time marathon champion, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on Voice of America.
Here's a Sunny Side of Sports salute to Kyle Johnson, who, like Tatiana McFadden, was adopted and who's now trying to level the playing field for soccer-playing girls in Minnesota. VOA's Carol Pearson reports from St. Paul, Minnesota.
Hi, Dad!
Every afternoon, these girls get picked up from their house, apartment, or public housing across St. Paul, Minnesota's capital city. The driver is their coach, Kyle Johnson.
Transportation is a big barrier to what we're trying to do, and many of them don't have access to transportation for them to play. So, we have two options: is either I pick them up and they can play, or I don't pick them up and then they wouldn't be able to play.
It was when the former high school soccer coach attended a state high school tournament banquet that he noticed a disparity in the top teams.
On the girls' side, there's zero diversity at all. There's no diversity. And so that's what really struck me about doing this, was that I know so many different young women from all different demographics, and they weren't being represented on that stage.
To remedy this, Johnson founded Like a Girl 2 years ago. The nonprofit organization has developed a soccer and futsal program for mainly immigrant and refugee girls.
The mainstream soccer system is really the club system in this country. And to play the club system, you really need money. And I know that there's many communities of young women that are hugely talented.
Futsal is a version of football played on a hard court, mainly indoors.
Because it's a bit faster game, you really have to develop your technical skills and your creativity. It's a chance for you to really be able to fail and then learn from it. That's another big thing that I do, is I encourage failure all the time.
Heyblut Paw was born to Burmese Karen parents in a refugee camp in Thailand.
What I like about Like a Girl is we improve on our soccer skills, and not only do we come from different refugee camps, but we also have similar backgrounds, and it helps us build up on our friendship and improves the relationship we have with our coach.
Last year, Johnson organized the group's first college showcase, an event where college coaches come and watch teams play and scout players.
It was a big success. We only had 2 colleges come, but from that tournament, we had 3 girls. They got soccer scholarships to go to college.
Born in Vietnam, Johnson was adopted when he was 6 weeks old, right after the Vietnam War ended.
I think I was very, very, very fortunate to be adopted into a loving family and have opportunity. And I think, you know, there may be part of that opportunity, that is why I started Like a Girl.
Johnson says Like a Girl is not all about soccer.
It's finding out what your passion is and working hard and trying to achieve the biggest goals that you can in life. And that's a big thing for Like a Girl.
One, two, three, Like a Girl!
I'm Carol Pearson, VOA News, St. Paul, Minnesota.
You go, girls. And thanks to my VOA colleague, Carol Pearson, for that report. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Joining us now from Abuja, Nigeria, with a package of African football news is reporter Samson Omale. Good evening, Samson.
Good evening to you, Sonny. FIFA has appointed businessman Dr. Kofi Amoah as the chairman of a four-member normalization committee that will run Ghana Football Association and organize the election of new executives of the Ghana Football Association. Veron Musengo Omba, FIFA's Director of Development for Africa and the Caribbean, announced the appointments during a press briefing in Ghana on Thursday.
FIFA, after consultation with the government of Ghana, the CAF, in accordance with its statute, decided to establish the normalization committee and appointed the following person as member of this committee: Dr. Kofi Amoah, president of this committee; Lucy Quist, vice president; and as the members, we have Ms. Na Nortes, Mr. Kofi Dual Andote. The rest, this list will be completed in due course after consultation.
Explaining the mechanisms of the normalization committee, Mr. Luca Nicola, FIFA's head of governance, said the committee will, among other things, run the GFA's daily affairs and review the GFA's status to ensure compliance with the requirement of FIFA and CAF.
To run the GFA's daily affairs, meaning that the normalization committee will act in place of the GFA Executive Committee with the same rights and obligations. So the Normalization Committee will have a supervisory and strategic role.
Staying with football news, Kenyan League champions Gor Mahia FC head coach Dylan Kerr says the eagerly awaited international friendly match pitting the 17-time Kenya Premier League champions against 9-time English League top victors Everton FC on November the 6th at the Goodson Park will provide a flamboyant platform for the Gallo players to showcase their talents to the world.
The country of Kenya should feel proud that, you know, we're going as a football club to represent the country to, as has already been said, you know, one of the best teams in England, in the English Premiership, and also to a famous stadium, and for my players to have the opportunity to go and play in the English Premiership, because that's basically what we're doing. We're going there to play in the English Premiership, even though it's a friendly.
I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria.
Thanks, Samson, and I hope you have a sporty weekend. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. The National Football League recently kicked off its 99th season here in the United States, and a second-year running back with ties to Liberia had a big opening game for the New Orleans Saints. So says sports reporter Dan Friedel.
One of the other players who is really an exciting contributor to the highlights every week is Alvin Kamara, whose mother is from Liberia. He grew up in Georgia, and Kamara was kind of an unheralded rookie last year in a dynamic offense led by Drew Brees and their offensive-minded head coach, Sean Payton. The Saints never have trouble scoring points, and that was true again on Sunday. As the Saints put up 40 points, Kamara had 3 touchdowns, a rushing touchdown. He received 9 passes, went over 100 yards receiving. But in one of the most exciting games of the week, the Saints scored 40 points and didn't win. Harvard graduate Ryan Fitzpatrick rushed for a touchdown, threw 4 other touchdowns, wound up with 400 yards passing in kind of the surprise of the week, because the Buccaneers were playing without their number one quarterback, Jameis Winston. The Buccaneers wound up scoring 48 points and knocking down the Saints, who a lot of people thought were going to be one of the big winning teams this year in the NFL. And one final note, Adrian Peterson, the outstanding running back who's had a great career, mostly known for his success in Minnesota, joined the Washington Redskins late in training camp, scored a touchdown in the Redskins' win over Arizona, and moved into 10th all-time on the total rushing yardage list in the NFL, surpassing all-time great Jim Brown and Hall of Famer Marshall Faulk to wrap up a pretty exciting opening week in the NFL.
Finally, Dan, Gianni Infantino, the president of the International Football Federation, FIFA, he was recently here in Washington, and one of the statements he made was he'd like to see soccer or international football kind of be boosted here in the United States to maybe get into the top two or three most popular sports. With the popularity of the National Football League, do you ever really see soccer overtaking the NFL in terms of popularity?
Sonny, I think that the best hope that soccer would have for taking over the NFL as far as popularity among fans, probably two things. We talked earlier about concussions. Now, obviously, there are some concerns about head injuries in soccer. We have seen big head injuries during the World Cup where a lot of people have been concerned about players getting back on the field too quickly. We've seen high school football diminished in the U.S., and soccer continues to be a big sport for young people in the U.S. It might take another generation or two if it turns out that parents decide to hold their children out of playing full contact football for soccer to become the kind of sport that has generations of fans who played the sport as children interested in following the game locally in the big stadiums in the U.S. But just here in Washington, D.C., there's a palpable interest in D.C. United due to Wayne Rooney coming over to play halfway through the season. There's some interest that some thought that D.C. United might be able to make it into the playoffs. There just need to be more outstanding, internationally well-known players in the U.S. to generate that kind of interest. The more teams that can get players like Rooney, who are earlier in their careers, who might actually decide to say, I want to play in the United States instead of in Italy, instead of in Spain, instead of in Germany, instead of in the Premier League. If we see that, ultimately, if the NFL injury concerns affect the participation level of players who are young, and we get to see more players in their prime who are internationally recognizable, that's the only point that I think soccer might overtake American-style professional football.
Thanks, Dan. That sports reporter and occasional Sunny Side of Sports host, Dan Friedel. And Dan spoke with me here in Washington earlier in the show. The energetic Andy Edwards spoke with Patrick Sang and Tatiana McFadden ahead of Sunday's 45th BMW Berlin Marathon in Germany. That's not the only big marathon on Sunday. In China, they will host the Beijing Marathon. And yes, there will be a strong African presence in Beijing. On the starting line will be defending women's champion Meselech Beyeni of Ethiopia. Last year, Beyeni clocked 2 hours, 27 minutes, and 44 seconds to win the women's title in Beijing. And on the men's side, another Ethiopian will also be on the start line, Tola Dibaba. He has the fastest personal best of 2 hours, 6 minutes, and 17 seconds. He's one of the favorites in Beijing. And that wraps up the September 14th edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Nick Ivanov. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Have a nice weekend, everyone. And that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it.
Hello, this is Peter Clotty, host of Nightline Africa. Please join us every Saturday and Sunday at 16 and 18 hours UTC. Nightline Africa is VOA's Africa's weekend show that provides news, features, and entertainment news about Africa and the world. Tune in. You will be glad you did. I guarantee it.
Want to relax, unwind, or charge up? Then listen to Music Time in Africa this weekend. It'll do all that for you and more. I'm Heather Maxwell. I know good music. And Africa is my passion. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for 1 hour of commercial-free Pan-African music of the highest caliber. You get great music, music news, and amazing artist interviews from rising stars to superstars. This listen will take you places. So do it. Join me for Music Time in Africa, your weekend destination.
Hello, I'm Linor Moudou, host of Health Chat. Next week on Health Chat, we'll have an exclusive interview with Melinda Gates, co-founder of the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. For your questions, email us at healthchat@voanews.com. You can also reach us by phone to leave a message or to participate in the program. We will call you back. Dial the international code for the United States, then dial 202-205-9942. The U.S. country code is 1. Dial 45 after you hear the station ID. Health Chat, this Tuesday at 17:30 UTC, right here on VOA Africa.
VOA Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
Border Crossings.
Join host Larry London.
Larry London.
On Border Crossings, VOA's only worldwide music request hour.
Oh.
Every weekday at 1500 Universal. Tune in for the biggest hits and amazing artists. Win prizes and get the latest news from exclusive celebrity interviews.
Ooh.
Send your requests to Facebook at VOA Larry London, Twitter at Border Crossings, or Instagram at Border Crossings VOA, or call 202-619-2077 and have your favorite music played to the entire world.
Ah.
Don't miss Border Crossings every weekday at 1500 Universal, only on the Voice of America.
VOA News.
VOA. When news breaks, VOA News is there. Around the clock, listen to VOA Newscast at the top of each hour, along with our detailed news programs and analysis.
We are online at voanews.com.
VOA, your trusted source of news and information.